So I'm excited for today, too, to share with you refocusing in prayer. That's what we're talking about today. Start again, refocusing on prayer, all right? We talk about prayer a lot. We do pray a ton. But sometimes, again, as we start, we want to create healthy habits, right? We want to make sure that we are actually participating with the Lord. So let's pray as we get into the word today. Father God, we are so grateful. And Lord, thank you for your presence here today. God, thank you that you're already moving in hearts. You're already speaking. You're already healing. You're already answering prayers. And so God, we thank you for that. We don't take that for granted. And Father, I pray for the next few moments as we look at your word, and I pray, God, you would remove anything from my heart. God, that you would speak through me today. And God, that the word of God that transforms would go to hearts. And Holy Spirit, you would speak to individual people what they need to hear today through your living word. God, we thank you that this is not just a book with stories, but God, it is living and it is active. And God, it penetrates to the heart. And so, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak today to different people, to hearts. And you know what each of us need to hear today. You know what we need to be reminded of. And so, God, we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for the word of God in your precious name. Amen. Aren't you guys so thankful for the word of God? Aren't you thankful that we have the freedom to carry a Bible, that we have the freedom to listen to the word? I mean, yeah, I'm just really, really grateful. And so may we take it in more. And here's a little side note. If you haven't joined the Bible reading plan, there's about 24 of us so far that are reading through the Bible together. It's wonderful daily. Different people post scriptures or comments or things. And it just is such a beautiful thing to be able to walk through the year together as we read the Bible. So just another encouragement. All right. So let's get started. So, question for you. Have you ever been talking to somebody who is physically present but mentally elsewhere? Right? Eyes drifting, their attention's divided. And here's the thing, I'll be honest, I've done that. You know, I've done that to people and I hate it and it's happened. But I have to own that. You know, that's happened before. Spiritually, though, that's how many believers relate to God, right? We want him to move in our lives. We want him to do something new, but we're distracted. Our eyes are on everything else besides him, right? They're on our past. They're on the pressures of life. They're on the fear of the future. So prayer, though, is how we refocus. It's how we lift our eyes again to be focus on the author and the finisher of our faith, right? The one who created it all. Prayer gets us to focus on that. We're going to take a look at Isaiah chapter 43 today, a pretty majority of it. And it shows us what happens when God calls his people back to focus on him, right? Before he reveals anything new, he's going to call us into alignment. And I love that. So turn with me to Isaiah 43. This is exciting. And not only was this for back in the day, Isaiah was a prophet of Israel, and it wasn't only for the times, but this is a beautiful passage. It was prophetic at the time, but it's a beautiful passage for us as well to be reminded of how God sees us and what he's speaking to us today as well. So it wasn't just for Israel. It wasn't just for Judah. It's for us today. Amen? All right, so let's read it. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for you because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will gather you and your children from the east and the west. I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them. Bring out the people who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. Gather the nations together. Assemble the peoples of the world. Which of their idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict what will happen tomorrow? Where are the witnesses of such predictions? Who can verify that they spoke the truth? But you are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You are my servant. You have been chosen to know me. Believe in me and understand that I alone am God. There is no other God. There has never been and there never will be. Yes, I am the Lord, and there is no other Savior. First, I predicted your rescue. Then I saved you and proclaimed it to the world. No foreign God has ever done this. You are witnesses that I am the only God, says the Lord. From eternity to eternity, I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sakes, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Love that. All right, we're going to talk about that. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. I know that was a lot, but this was a prophecy that how God was going to walk with Israel in the future. They wouldn't be exiled for quite some time, 100 plus years, way into the era of Daniel and Jeremiah. I mean, it's a long time, but it was given to them as a promise, as an encouragement. And it is for us today, again, that God will be with us. It's not just a promise, but it's a conversation. Isn't that good to know, no matter what you're going to face, no matter what's going to happen in the future, that God will be with you? Some of this was so beautiful, even as it was described, and we're going to talk about it. At this time, Israel is facing exile eventually in Babylon, loss of land, their temple, and their identity ultimately. Shame from past disobedience, fear that God had abandoned them. So before God ever talks about doing something new, he always reminds us of who we are, right? And that's the beautiful part. Verses 1 through 7, God restores their identity. He says things like, I created you. I formed you. I transformed you. I ransomed you. I called you by name. You are mine. He was setting in course their identity as it relates to him as God the Father. Israel thought exile meant rejection, but God says exile does not cancel covenant. No matter what they were going to go through, he was still going to be faithful to his word and faithful to Israel. Amen? See, God always reaffirms identity before revealing direction. And prayer begins the same way, not with just requests, but with remembering who God is and who we are in him. Like the Lord's Prayer, right? It starts out this, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It focuses on who he is, right? We get in alignment with who he is, and then we understand who we are. God reassures them of his presence. God doesn't promise avoidance of hardship in our lives, you guys. There's nowhere in scripture where it says, hey, once you know Jesus, everything's good. That is nowhere. It actually is the opposite. We will walk in sufferings. We will carry cross. We will go through dark times. But he promises his presence in it and through it all. Can you say amen to that? When you go through the waters, he will be there, right? Referencing what? Red Sea, right? He took them through that dry land. He did miracles. He did it in the past. Guess what? He's going to do it in the future for them. When you walk through the fire, fire can represent a many things, but it references even prophetically, Daniel is going to face in Babylon literal fire, the furnace, right? When you go through that, he will be there. But God says you will not be consumed. You will not be consumed. Isn't that beautiful? It wasn't just for Israel, but it was for us today. You will not be consumed, no matter what you go through. When you go through deep waters this year, what does scripture say? I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. You will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Because guess what? There's a fourth person in the fire, right? Like Daniel. He's with us. He's in it. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer doesn't deny reality, okay? Because let's be real. We are all facing some harsh realities. Some things in our lives that are tough. People that we love that don't know Jesus. Brokenness. There is tough things that are around. Prayer doesn't just whitewash it to where we're all like, oh, yay, life's great. I have no problems. No. It anchors us in God's presence. It anchors us to who he is. It anchors us to truth that when the lies come, we go, no, I'm going to get in alignment with what God's saying, not what the lies are saying. So quick question for you to look at your own life. You can answer it internally. Have you ever felt this way? Like you're drowning or going through fire? Well, just like Israel, God promises, again, he will be with you in it and through it. So just take a moment and just think about that. Doesn't matter what 2026 brings. He's going to walk with you and through. So thankful for that. Verses 8 through 13, God reclaims his authority. He challenges the false gods during the time. He says things like, I am alone, God. I declare the future. You are my witnesses, right? Israel at the time was surrounded by powerful enemies, powerful empires. And he reminds them that power does not equal sovereignty. Prayer recenters us under God's authority when culture tries to define reality. Prayer recenters us under God's authority when culture tries to define reality. Amen? So then we come to the verses 14 through 19. And I'm just going to, the new thing. Before God says, forget the former things, he reminds them of their exodus. He reminds them of when he delivered them before. He has delivered them a lot. But guess what? He's going to do it again. He wants them to know that I am the same God who delivered you before. But he also says, don't limit me to the way I moved last time. And I really feel like that's such a good word for us because how we have operated, even as a church, the last 7 years, right? I'm in year 8. We can't live in how that's been. That's the past. That's the former things. God's calling us into a new season, new space. We've transitioned out people. We're walking with a group that's planting a church, right? It's a new season. It's calling us to a new place, and we cannot be the same as we have been. Israel, though, they wanted a repeat miracle. But what God was doing was getting ready for a greater one. I don't want last year's manna. I don't want last year's oil, right? We want fresh, new manna, fresh, new oil for today, for the assignment on this season, right? The Exodus freed them from Egypt, but the new thing that's coming would free them from exile. And that's for all of us. But this time, there was going to be no dramatic sea splitting, no public spectacle. God would move through unexpected people and processes. Listen, we got to be open to however God's wanting to move. We can't box him in. He created all things. So we have to allow him to do a new thing. We have to open our hands and be ready to receive whatever that looks like this year. Here's a couple of key truths for today that I want us to focus on today. Number one is this: prayer helps us release the former things. Prayer helps us to release the former things. Forget all that. It's nothing to compare to what he's going to do. Imagine that. All the miracles that they had seen up until that point, and he's saying, forget those former things. That compares to nothing to what I'm going to do. Haha. That is beautiful. For them, the past had become a comfort, but it also become a cage. Some of them were just stuck in nostalgia. Others were in shame. And prayer is where we come and we can release all of it to him. When we pray, we're honestly bringing our memories, our wounds, and our regrets to Jesus. Anybody have any of those? Regrets, wounds, right? We bring them to Jesus. Speaking these things out loud or even in our hearts privately, it breaks the power over them and helps us to stop carrying them alone. Matthew 11:28, and it's not on your screen, it says this: come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It doesn't say come with it all figured out, come with everything cleaned up, having all the answers. He just says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's for some of you today. He's calling you to come in closer, just a little bit deeper, a little bit closer in his presence. More of his word, more worship. We cannot outspend time with him. Right? We have a desperate need for him and his presence, you guys. And he's calling us to come to him. If you need rest, come to him. Get in his presence. If you're tired and weary, get in his presence. Key truth number two: prayer opens our eyes. Gets our eyes off our own self. It opens our eyes. See, I've already begun it. Don't you see it? The new thing was already beginning behind the scenes. Prayer sharpens our perception. It quiets distraction. It positions us to see. Not only see him, but to see other people, right? There's a whole lot of people that we probably cross paths with in a week and we don't see them. We're not seeing them. We're busy in our own lives and our own situations and moving right along, and we're missing them. We judge the exterior and go, oh, they're fine. We're missing it. Prayer positions us to see. It slows us down. It creates quiet spaces. This helps us to see what we're missing. Prayer invites God's perspective, right? It reveals what's in our hearts if you let it. Often hidden motives, hurts and sins or fears, they can come to the surface in a time of prayer. This isn't to shame us, but it is to heal us. Prayer can soften our heart. It reduces pride and bitterness and resentment. I will tell you, if you're staying away from praying, if it's harder to pray, it might be because your heart is full of some of those things and you don't want him to shed any light on it. I've been there. I'm not preaching to you like I got it all figured out. I've been there. I've avoided his presence at times because I knew oh boy, got some things to deal with. But it softens our heart. It reduces pride and our resentment and our bitterness. You see, a softened heart can see others with more grace and empathy. And I don't know about you, but I think our world can use a lot more of that. Grace and empathy, right? And we're the church. We have the answer. We have the hope. So we should be really good at that. So Lord, help us, right? That we would be more grace-filled and more empathetic as we walk about our lives, as we interact with people who are doing the best they can, but probably bleeding on the inside. You cannot see what God is doing if you're not spending time in his word, and if you're not spending time with him. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss what he's doing. Key truth number 3, prayer sustains us. He said, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. How beautiful. He's not just saying, go figure it out. He's going to make a path so that we know which way to go. God promises direction, but not shortcuts. Prayer reveals the next step, even when the destination is unclear. We're not meant to have all the answers. He gives us enough light for the next step and for the next step. Prayer sustains us by giving us strength. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. It's his strength. Prayer sustains us by giving us peace. Anybody need some peace? Calms anxiety by placing our worries into God's hands, the one that can carry them all. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. He cares for you. So why are you carrying it? Give it to him. Let him carry it. Prayer gives us that peace. Prayer renews us. Life drains us emotionally, spiritually, physically, relationally, any otherly, right? It just drains us. But in prayer, it renews us. I can't tell you how many people, even this week, showed up to prayer and they're like, oh, and I was tired and I was like, I'm going to come. Or, man, I was even just not feeling, I had a headache and I came to prayer. Or, you know, different reasons where just they weren't going to come and then they came. And then guess what? After prayer, it was like, man, I'm feeling so much better. Because it works. It renews us. I mean, there's something to that, right? Prayer is a way of being refilled each day, each time we come together. Just like eating food nourishes our body. Now, I know we're going into a fast, but like we have to eat food in order to be nourished. Same thing with prayer. You've got to have a conversation with the Lord. You got to build that relationship. Prayer sustains us, deepens our relationship with the Lord. I remember when I was young and you would read the verse, you know, pray without ceasing. And I remember being like, ooh, you know, because when you're like in high school and we would do like New Year's Eve, like a prayer meeting for like an hour before midnight. And I remember being like, oh, that is a lot to pray for an hour, you know. Because we would always have lock-ins afterwards, so we were getting ready for the fun, but it was like, that was a long time. Boy, the older you get, right, you realize that's not enough time, right? We need his presence and his power. We need to be walking with him, talking with him. I find myself multiple times throughout the day having conversations in the car as I'm walking out the house, you know, God, I need you, or even people come to mind and just praying for people, praying for situations. Or there are times where I won't listen to anything in the car and I'll just say, Lord, what do I need to hear? It deepens our relationship with the Lord. Prayer sustains us. So if you're feeling low, like you're out of gas, you're out of whatever emotionally, mentally, spirit, because you know what? You got to get in his presence. You're empty. Your gas tank is empty, right? I know that seems real practical, but it's true. Key truth number 4, prayer invites God's presence into dry places. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Babylon, during that time, was dry land, but God promised rivers, literally, that they would flow. Prayer makes room for God to move. Prayer draws living water. It refreshes. It restores. I love the word refresh. I love the word restore. I've needed that in this season. 2025 was a tough year, and I've needed that restoration. I've needed that replenishing, that refreshing. John 4:14 says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never, what? Thirst. It's living water. If you're dry, if you're thirsty, if you're hungry, get into his presence. His presence brings life where there is none. It shifts atmospheres. It restores hope and expectation. Dryness in our lives, it kills hope. But prayer keeps us connected to the truth that God is near and active and faithful. Let me say that again. Prayer keeps us connected to the truth that God is near. He may feel far, but he's near. He hasn't moved. It's us. He's near. He's active. And he's faithful. I can't imagine what it looked like as we gathered in the Assemblies of God across the nation and the globe as we prayed this week. I can't imagine what was happening in the heavenlies and then what was happening on the earth as prayers were being prayed by hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. As God's activating heaven according to his will and purposes, right? Amazing. When we pray, things are happening. We may not see it. We may not see the fruit of it even for a while. But God takes notice of that. Prayer keeps us connected, even in barren and dry seasons. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that it keeps us connected to the living water